Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 59 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Kinsey Thompson.
A firearm, over 200 rounds of ammunition, 100-round high-capacity magazine were also discovered.
A man accused of planning an attack on two Kentucky schools pled not guilty today.
A Fleming County man has been indicted for crimes he allegedly committed more than 30 years ago.
Moorhead State University's historic presidential house will need extensive work.
Enrollment is down at MSU this semester.
Advocates for special needs children are calling for better training for educators.
In sports, the Falcons and the Giants face off for Monday Night Football.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Clear skies tonight with a low around 42 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A Fleming County man has been indicted for multiple charges of rape and incest he allegedly committed more than 30 years ago. The grand jury handed down an indictment for 69-year-old William Hildebrand on Friday. According to that indictment, Hildebrand is charged with 7 counts of rape of a victim under 12, 9 counts of sodomy with a victim under 12, 5 counts of incest, 2 counts of rape by forcible compulsion, and 2 counts of sodomy by forcible compulsion, and 2 counts of incest with a victim under the age of 18. The crimes are estimated to have happened between 1979 and 1992. Hildebrand is being held in the Mason County Detention Center on a $500,000 bond. He's scheduled to appear in Fleming Circuit Court on November 2nd.
A 65-year-old Texas man was arrested Friday at the Lexington Bluegrass Airport after he traveled 900 miles to engage in what he thought was sex with two children under the age of 12. Attorney General Andy Beshear announced today that cyber investigators, Kentucky State Police, and Airport Police intercepted and arrested Gregory Lee Herbie and charged him with 4 counts of unlawful use of electronic means originating or received within the Commonwealth of Kentucky to induce a minor to engage in sexual or other prohibited activities, all Class D felonies. Herbie of Brazoria, Texas, which is near Houston, was taken to the Fayette County Detention Center. His bail was set at $100,000. Herbie's arrest and charges were part of a lengthy undercover investigation by Beshear's Department of Criminal Investigations Cyber Crimes Unit, whose work is to protect Kentucky families from cyber predators.
A New Jersey resident is responsible for the capture of an Anderson County man who attempted to carry out a school shooting. Cober Bull received a violent threat from 20-year-old Dylan Jarrell on Facebook. The message targeted Bull's children. She said she couldn't stop thinking about it and contacted police. Jarrell was traced back to Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, and Kentucky State Police found a car full of weaponry and plans to carry out shootings in Shelby and Anderson County. KSP Commissioner Rick Sanders says Bull's call was critical.
There's no doubt in my mind that as a result of this investigation, we save lives. This young man had it in his mind to go to schools and create havoc.
Jarrell is charged with terroristic threatening and harassing communications.
A not guilty plea was entered this morning for a Lawrenceburg man accused of planning a school shooting. WMKY's Wyatt Melton has the story.
20-year-old Dylan Jarrell appeared via video conferencing from the Shelby County Detention Center at a court hearing in Anderson County. Jarrell is charged with terroristic threatening and harassing communications after a woman in New Jersey contacted police about a message she received from him. According to WKYT, investigators discovered a firearm, more than 200 rounds of ammunition, a Kevlar vest, a 100-round high-capacity magazine, and a detailed plan of attack in Jarrell's possession during a search. Kentucky State Police say he was caught backing out of his driveway with the means necessary to carry out the attack. The judge set Jarrell's bond at $50,000 cash, and the suspect received a public defender upon request. Jarrell has a limited previous criminal history. A preliminary hearing is set for November 1st. For WMKY News, I'm Wyatt Melton.
The House of the President on Moorhead State University's campus will need extensive work before it can be used again. The building was evacuated in August after the discovery of black mold. Assistant Vice President of Facilities and Operations, Kim Oatman, spoke at the Board of Regents work session on Friday. He says the first step is gutting the entire basement, but the work doesn't end there.
The next step is to work on this HVAC. The HVAC system is contaminated with you know, was an old and ended up working.
The historic home will not be habitable for 12 to 18 months, Oatman says. The university will need to consider different options for the building in the future.
Morehead State's headcount is down 4.5% according to preliminary numbers. MSU's Board of Regents discussed the student population during Friday's work session. Tim Rhodes, Assistant Vice President of Enrollment Services, says that while overall numbers are slightly down, retention is up.
This last class, 17, the fall 18, 73.7% retention. That's incredible for a public regional university.
Rhodes also says the drop in numbers was the result of a large senior class graduating. He says the overall number of freshmen has increased.
Two candidates are running for jailer in Boyd County this November. WMKY's Haley Stidham has the story.
Dean Akers and William Dale Hensley are running for Boyd County jailer. Former Boyd County jailer Joe Burchett is not running for re-election after being indicted for malfeasance or neglect of county office. Akers and Hensley spoke with the Daily Independent to explain why they are running and what they consider their most important issues. Akers says he is running to do the best he can at correcting the issues that have plagued the facility for the past several years, like escapes and overdoses. Hensley says he wants to focus on transparency and accountability at the jail in order to rebuild the community's trust in the facility. Election Day in Kentucky is November 6th. For WMKY News, I'm Haley Stidham.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. Basketball and racquetball courts, weight and exercise equipment, indoor walking track and swimming pool. Outdoor Adventures offers a bouldering wall, camping and hiking equipment, kayaks and paddle boards for Eagle Lake. Towel service and group fitness classes included with all memberships. Day passes and community memberships now available for fall. Bowling lanes open Monday through Saturday, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the Laughlin Building. More information at 783-2083.
Advocates for special needs children are examining training standards in Kentucky schools after several incidents sparked concerns about this around the state. One involved a nonverbal autistic child in Taylor County. According to a state investigative report, the victim's mother shared, a classmate saw William being grabbed and hit by a teacher's aide in October 2017. Dr. Michael Winkler has special needs children of his own. He says the problem is lack of training.
I don't think a teacher or a paraeducator wakes up in the morning, thinks I'm going to go to my job and vent my frustration on the children they're supposed to be teaching and helping.
While the investigative report shows no evidence of abuse in the school was found, there were concerns for inappropriate redirection techniques used by the aide who assists William.
A new study published in the Journal of Climate and Atmospheric Science suggests Tornado Alley is on the move. Tornadoes have been decreasing in typical places such as Oklahoma, Texas, and Kansas, but increasing in Kentucky, Indiana, Illinois, and Tennessee over the past few decades. Victor Gansini is the study's lead author and a professor of atmospheric sciences at Northern Illinois University. He says he's worried about areas east of the Mississippi River where there are more mobile homes and trees, making it harder to spot tornadoes.
We see a lot of tornado fatalities and casualties every year in these locations. So with tornado numbers on the rise, kind of intersecting this very vulnerable area, we really need to get the word out and do some education and outreach to let these folks know that they're at risk every year, but the risk is increasing in some areas.
Gansini says the Mid-South has the greatest potential for a rise in tornado disasters by the end of the century.
A two-headed snake found in Leslie County is now on display in Frankfort. According to WKYT, the copperhead is now located at the Salado Wildlife Education Center. Heather Tichy is the director of the Salado Wildlife Education Center.
This is a Kentucky native snake that we have. Look at how great wildlife is here. It generates a lot of excitement here for us at the center.
Tichy says the snake is one of four venomous snakes found in Kentucky, but a two-headed copperhead is extremely rare. Due to its physical limitations, the animal's life expectancy is much shorter than normal.
A fire safety trailer is being used as a tool to teach children what to do in the event of a house fire. According to EKB-TV, Pike County emergency management officials are working with fire departments to raise awareness of fire safety. Doug Tackett is the Pike County Emergency Management Director. He says the trailer is a regional asset and has been as far as Moorhead and Corbin.
This is the only trailer of its kind in the state, and it's only one of about three in the nation. This teaches them in a non-threatening atmosphere, but with realism. You get smoke, you get to see the digital fire, and they can put that out.
Tackett says this is the only trailer of its kind in the state and one of three in the nation.
The third annual Fit and Grit 5K kicked off in Pikeville on Saturday with around 50 participants. According to WYMT, the Big Sandy Neonatal Abstinence Syndrome Coalition partnered with Shaping Our Appalachian Region, or SOAR, to help raise awareness of drug-dependent babies in Kentucky. Stacy Crum and Danielle Franken-Harmon are with the coalition.
In Kentucky, it's one of the top four states in the nation for babies that are born drug dependent. And in the Big Sandy area, which is what we both cover, is three times the state average of babies that are born drug dependent.
The turnout for the run was around 50 people, a number that SOAR and NAS said showed the community's consciousness of the issue. Proceeds from the 5K went to the coalition. Looking at the weather for tonight, it is mostly clear skies with a low around 42 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny skies with a high near 61. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low around 34. On Wednesday, sunny skies with a high near 52. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 32. On Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 50. On Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 36 degrees. On Friday, a 30% chance of rain and mostly cloudy skies with a high near 52. Right now, it is 65 degrees in Moorhead, Ashland, and Grayson, 64 in Maysville, Inez, and Mount Sterling, and 63 degrees in Flemingsburg.
On our feature segment today, WMKY's Chaz Jenkins explores the journalism career of Moorhead State University Convergent Media Professor John Flavel.
Published in the Washington Post in 2001, the New York Times in 2006, the Herald Leader and Associated Press countless times, John Flavel is a master of photography and journalism. Raised in 1970s West Germany with no internet or English-speaking television, Flavel had to resort to reading for entertainment. That all changed, however, when his father started getting into photography by visiting a camera shop across from the military base he and his family lived at. Flavel followed suit and began a hobby that would turn into a lifetime career.
Culturally, everything was brand new and, quote, liberating. Photography became, I don't know how else to explain it. It was almost like doing film. If you could do photography real well and you enjoyed doing photography real well, it was always there. It could always satisfy you.
Completing graduate school in 1989, Flavel had the world at his fingertips. He began his illustrious career by working as chief photographer for the Ashland Independent.
Why'd you leave?
It came down to they were going to get rid of one of us, and I could retire or semi-retire, and I could make a living on the outside. I could make a living out of the newspaper. So when I did leave, I went to work for the Associated Press as a contract photographer covering politics, and I was busy every day. So I liked that.
After a few years of freelancing, Flavel was given an opportunity that would change everything, to teach journalism at MSU.
Was teaching something you knew you were going to get into, or did it just happen?
No. Never, ever thought that I would get into teaching, especially at the college level. We always did a little mentoring professionally as a courtesy. We're a close-knit group of people. So there's always that. You know, every once in a while, I'll look over portfolios from Indiana University because I went there. So, no, teaching was never something I thought I'd get into.
One of Flavel's proudest moments in his career was getting to interview famous comedian George Carlin.
All the interviews that I read up to that time that he had been doing for that tour were the exact same, and they were horrible. Talk about this, talk about that, the same four or five things. But when I found out, for example, that he had been working on a play about his life, that he wanted to put it on Broadway. He hadn't figured out exactly yet how he was going to present this play. I had never heard that before. I had never read it. I had never heard it, that he was actually working on it. He said some of it would be funny, some of it would be tragic, but it took 35 minutes to get him there. If I'd stuck with the 10 minutes, I would have had a garbage interview. I was immensely gratified. I couldn't sleep for 3 days after that interview.
When out in the field, an important lesson to live by for Flavel is being truthful when telling a story. For him, that's the biggest difference between fine art and photojournalism.
It has nothing to do with what the old classics were like. It has everything to do with if you remove the color, then you see the texture. If you see the texture of a photograph, you're seeing about 90% of it. Step back and look at the composition of the photograph. Now you're seeing 100% of it, and the color's not getting in the way.
However, for Flavel, the most imperative thing is the students he teaches.
I had a student come in, maybe her second or third year, and it was the second or third year that I was here. When I was getting students published before that, it was amazing to me. They could go on and they could do well. But when she came in and told me, "You're the only one that's ever showed us what our options are or could be," that hit me pretty hard. And I don't think that she understood how important her words were. That's when I thought, okay, now, so this is important to them. So that's why we keep hitting away and hammering away at people who just sat there and stare at me and not say anything. I know they have something to say. It's up to me to figure out how to get them to say it.
I'm Chaz Jenkins.
It's 4:46 and 65 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Kenzie Thompson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this lovely Monday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Morehead, Rowan County, and Morehead State University. More information at 784-1250.
It's Falcons versus Giants in Monday Night Football action. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The New York Giants head into Atlanta tonight to take on the Falcons. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
Week 7 of the NFL season comes to a close in Atlanta tonight, as two teams with disappointing seasons so far get an opportunity to turn things around. The Falcons come into the night at 2-4. But have been in several close games so far this season. Despite a positive turnover margin, however, they haven't been able to seal wins in those contests. Falcons head coach Dan Quinn says he wants to see his team force even more turnovers against the Giants tonight.
We've got to be able to create more takeaways and the forced fumbles in specific. So from an interception standpoint, you know, two of those last week, and if we can increase the other side and not just force them, but, you know, get a chance to recover them, that's a big deal. So a lot of those will come from hits on the quarterback, talking about fumbles in specific. So that's a big emphasis, obviously, for us.
The 1-5 Giants have struggled offensively in 2018, averaging less than 20 points per game. A win, however, will put them only two games behind the NFC East leading Redskins in a division where there's no clear frontrunner. The Giants and Falcons kick off at 8:15 p.m. tonight. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Joe Lewis.
The Cincinnati Bengals fell last night at the hands of the Chiefs, falling with a score of 45-10. Bengals QB Andy Dalton threw for 148 yards, one touchdown, and one interception, while Chiefs QB Patrick Mahomes threw for 353 yards and four touchdowns. However, Cincy linebacker Preston Brown says that the only way the Bengals can come out with a W is if their defense steps up.
Overall, I mean, especially on the defensive side, we got to find ways to get them off the field. I mean, they were doing a lot of things, a lot of motions, a lot of fast motions, jet sweeps, motion coming back, flipping ball, a lot of stuff they were doing. But if we did our assignments, we could have manned up and played it better. So missing tackles, I mean, we were falling off of guys. When we had a chance to stop them before they got the yard to gain or touchdowns, we got to find ways to get guys down. If it's just hold them up, stand there, hold them, let other guys come help, because we just had to do a better job of tackling. So hopefully throughout this week we focus on that to get better for next week.
The 4-3 Bengals will take on the Buccaneers in Week 8 action next week. The Rams remain the league's only unbeaten team after Todd Gurley ran for three touchdowns and Jared Goff threw for a pair of touchdowns in a 39-10 rout of the 49ers. The Rams intercepted C.J. Beathard twice and recovered two fumbles to give them their first 7-0 record in 33 years. Former NFL wide receiver Ray Carruth has been released from prison after serving 18 years for conspiring to murder the mother of his unborn child. The Carolina Panthers' 1997 first-round draft pick was released today from Sampson Correctional Institution in Clinton, North Carolina, after completing his sentence. Carruth, now 44, was found guilty of orchestrating a plot to kill Teresa Adams on November 16, 1999, in Charlotte, North Carolina, to avoid paying child support. Adams was shot four times while driving her car, but managed to make a 911 call that helped implicate Carruth. Adams fell into a coma and died less than a month later after the shooting. The 12th-ranked Kentucky Wildcats scratched out a tight 14-7 victory over the Vanderbilt Commodores Saturday night. The win moves UK to 6-1 overall and 4-1 in the SEC. Saturday's game was tied going into the fourth quarter, and that's when Coach Stoops says his team dug deep and managed to pull out a victory.
Proud of our team for finding a way to win. Really great defensive effort. I thought the offensive line and Benny and tight ends and just showed a lot of guts and determination and physicality to get the ball in the end zone, score that the game-winning touchdown. But there's obviously quite a few things we need to improve on, and we're excited to get back to work here this week and get better.
The Wildcats travel to Columbia to take on Missouri this Saturday. The Tigers are 4-3 and winless in conference play. The Wildcats and Tigers are set to kick off at 4 p.m. on Saturday. Saturday's loss to Purdue has dropped Ohio State from 2nd to 11th in the latest AP college football poll. Clemson is back at number 2 where it started the season before falling as low as 4th. But Alabama continues its season-long hold on the top spot after claiming all 61 first-place votes for the first time since the 2017 final poll. Notre Dame is 3rd, followed by LSU, Michigan, Texas, Georgia, Oklahoma, Florida, and UFC. Number 25 Appalachian State is ranked in the AP poll for the first time in school history. Rowan County Senior High School head football coach is reflecting on the season following their final game. The Vikings fell to East Carter 25-21 on the road Friday. Head coach Kelly Ford says thanks to some stability with the coaching staff, the program is continuing to show improvement.
Started out this thing last year 3-8, took some whoopings. Now we, 5-5 and got it going in the right direction. This is the first time those Seniors has had the same head coach 2 years in a row. And, things are going in the right direction of the continuity of the football program. So, I'm tickled to death with my football team.
Friday's road loss brought the final record to 5-5 for the Vikings. And lastly in sports, a game-saving interception and the team lead in tackles has earned Morehead State senior safety side Canoe multiple Defensive Player of the Week honors. Canoe is the official PFL Defensive Player of the Week and earlier in the day was named the College Sports Madden's PFL Defensive Player of the Week. The Columbus, Ohio native tracked down a pass from Valparaiso's Jimmy Seawald with just over a minute to go. He intercepted it at the MSU 23-yard line and returned it all the way back to the Valpo 11-yard line with 53 seconds left to seal Saturday's 31-24 win. Head coach Rob Tenier says Canoe has been on a roll.
He's had a busy week, and he had a great game last week, Chuck. He played awesome and hit some big plays, and right now he's playing at a really good level for us, doing things really, really well, and I'm awful proud of him for that. He's in that radiology program. He misses some practice time. He misses some meetings, but he's really dedicated to it. And he can see something one time and he gets it.
Canoe and the Eagles host Marist Saturday at 1:05. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilton Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Football hosts Marist at 1:05 p.m. on Saturday. Men's basketball welcomes Berea for an exhibition game at 6 p.m. on Thursday. And women's basketball plays Shawnee State at 6:05 p.m. on Monday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrial Average and S&P both closed lower as shares of big banks fell broadly and worries about a deluge of corporate earnings reports coming this week and rising geopolitical tensions also dampened investor sentiment, although the NASDAQ did manage a gain today and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 126.93 at 25,317.41. The S&P 500 was down 11.9 at 2755.88. And as mentioned, the NASDAQ was strong today, finishing with a gain of 19.6 at 7468.63. Shares of Amazon and Apple both helped out the NASDAQ today, as Amazon was up 1.4% on a brokerage upgrade with a price target of 2,400, and Apple rose 0.6%. Banks were particularly under pressure today. Bank of America and Citigroup both fell more than 3%. J.P. Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs closed down 1.4% and 2.4% respectively. And the Spider S&P Bank ETF fell 2.8%, posting its worst day since October 10th. Banks were down today broadly amid worries that higher mortgage rates would cap loan growth. Halliburton and off-road vehicle maker Polaris Industries both reported better-than-expected earnings before the bell. Kimberly-Clark also posted a stronger-than-forecast profit. And in the commodities markets today, oil was up just slightly, up 0.2%, finishing at $69.25 a barrel. Gold was down 0.25% at $1,225.60 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were weak today, with the Stock 600 index down 0.4%. And in Asia, markets were very strong as overnight the Chinese government pledged to support China's economy to offset the negative impact of U.S. tariffs. And the Shanghai Composite was up just over 4%, and the Hang Seng was up 2.3%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Intel and Nike. The worst performers were Dow DuPont and Goldman Sachs. Among in the S&P 500, the best performers were Jacobs Engineering Group and Advanced Micro Devices, while the worst performers were Nektar Therapeutics and Scana Corporation. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 36 cents at 75.02, CSX up 37 cents at 68.31, AK Steel up 7 cents at 4.51, Marathon Petroleum up 22 cents at 74.14, AEP down 12 cents at 73.14, and Kroger was up 42 cents to finish at 27.98. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region. Now on display at the Rowland County Arts Center is a watercolor splash exhibit featuring more than 40 watercolor paintings. The exhibit is free and open to the public weekdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. through October 31st.
The public is invited to a lecture by Dr. Don Haas on climate change and education reform. The event takes place at 3:15 p.m. on Wednesday, October 24th, in room 419 of Reed Hall at Moorhead State University.
Coffee Tree Books, located on Main Street in Moorhead, will host a book reading and signing with the author Andrew Schaefer at 6 p.m. this Friday, October 26th. The author will be sharing his latest novel, Hope Never Dies, an Obama-Biden mystery.
The Moorhead Conference Center will host a storytelling performance featuring Rosie the Riveter at 3 p.m. on Sunday, October 28th. Admission is free, but donations will be accepted to benefit the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra.
The Rowland County Public Library is hosting Mary Todd, a new American musical, at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, October 30th. Admission is free, presented by the Bluegrass Opera Work and Music Theater Company, with support from LexArts and the Bluegrass Community Foundation. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Brian Courtney, Wyatt Melton, Jacob Lindberg, Haley Stidham, Peyton Stewart, Logan Pemberton, Jack Cottle, Chanasty Davis, Shawmarie Mosley, Naya Endueza, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Chaz Jenkins. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Kenzie Thompson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.